the power to learn, to communicate, to imagine, to create. The power to be your best.
Hello, and welcome to the Goldcast Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he moved to the U.S. 30 years ago, and no one was more thrilled than Britain's National Health Service, because his bar fight victims were costing the country a fortune. Leander, Katie is here.
Hello, Erfan.
And I just realized that I misplaced my intro for Buster, so I'm just going to make one up on the fly. He's like a young, sexy wizard. Buster kind is here. Hello. All right.
Hey.
Because of the beard, man. You look like a young wizard. But you're like a cool wizard. You're like, damn, cool. Look at that wizard. I wonder if he's single.
All right.
Do you carry a staff when you're out and about hiking through the wilderness?
No, I just man up, you know.
That's a mistake.
Use my own force, I guess.
What is up with those guys with the... I see those guys walking on the street every once in a while with like those two ski poles. Do you know what those are
used
for? Like, what's the purpose of those?
Hiking
things?
Poles, like trekking poles. It's just nice because you can like use your arms to help get you up a mountain, you know, put more weight on those.
So it just gives you a little bit more thrust.
Yeah. Thrust.
Buster doesn't need any more thrust power.
He's got a lot of that.
Got enough as is. All right. Well, we got some good Apple stories to talk about this week. For those of you joining us, the WWDC keynotes, it's on, and I want to see what you guys think about what we can expect as far as announcements go. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a new sleep tracking technology that Apple acquired this week. You may have heard about it. This is exciting to me personally because I hope they integrate something like this into the Apple Watch. I really like the sleep tracking technology that are in other fitness devices. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about this new Amazon Echo that you may have heard about that they're releasing this week. It's kind of an odd gadget, like a lot of Amazon's new technology. It's kind of a weird one. Oh, funny. Do you hear that in the background? My Amazon Echo heard me talking about it.
And now it's giving
me options, things that I can say to it. That's pretty funny. If you stay tuned till the end, we'll be talking about the stuff that we're currently digging in an all-new What We're Into, and Buster has promised that he's got a weird one on tap. And actually, Leander, you said the same thing, didn't you? Something real weird, real strange.
It's actually so strange, I think I'm going to have to... I was just thinking, definitely thinking something else.
You're like,
I'll tell you what it was later, but I actually just remember something that is better to talk about.
It's so strange and probably very sexual, and you just can't.
No, it's not sexual.
Okay, well, before we do the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress available to you at a shockingly fair price. Its supportive memory foams create an award-winning surface with just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce, and you can try a Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your home, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. And I will pose this question to you. Are you still using the same mattress that your parents handed down to you? I was for many, many years, and getting a new mattress years and years ago was one of the more transformative experiences in my life. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but it's actually true. You would not believe how much of a difference a good mattress can make. If you wake up with sore limbs, numb limbs, sore back, I used to get a lot of that kind of stuff and got a new mattress and it virtually all disappeared. And that's why I recommend if you've never gotten a new mattress, check it out. Go to Casper.com/CultCast. Casper.com/CultCast. Use offer code CultCast to check out and you can get $50 towards the purchase of any mattress. Set your old mattress up against the wall, just prop it up, put the new Casper down and use it for, 80 nights, 90 nights, 100 nights, and decide for yourself how you like it. The reason Casper's willing to give you such a long trial is because most people don't return it because they fall in love with it and they use it. So, Casper.com/CultCast. Let's start with the big story this week. Apple has sent out press invites for WWDC. The event will take place, the keynote will, on June 5th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Leander, how excited are you for WWDC on a scale of 1 to 5? Well, let's make it 1 to 10.
If it was in San Francisco, I'd be a lot more excited. I'm not very excited about driving down to San Jose. So.
Oh, they moved it? I didn't even know that.
What?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's down in San Jose now. So, you know, 8, okay. 9.
Pretty
yeah,
high.
It's a hot event.
Buster?
Maybe 5.
Whoa!
Yeah. Wow, right eye, Buster.
Buster, Leander's boiling, and you're on a very low simmer. So, yeah. why this year the lack of enthusiasm?
Well, I don't know what to get excited about. For one, like we don't.
Okay, so you're
there haven't been a lot
excitement.
Of rumors. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's gonna be that. There's gonna be this Amazon speaker thing.
Okay. So that's not super exciting to me. So,
yeah, I think that probably if they do announce hardware, that's going to be what they end up announcing is the
right.
new Apple speaker
using the Siri SDK, right? So
yeah. I mean, I'm definitely excited. I'm probably more like an 8. I'm up where Leander is, and that's because I'm always excited for new software. I just want to see what new capabilities my current gadgets are going to be getting.
Right.
So that's cool.
iOS 11, that'll be cool. There'll be some nice stuff in that.
Yeah. I'm always excited to see new software because it just feels like a freebie. You're not even have to buy anything and get a bunch of new features. Do you guys think that besides the Apple speaker, the Apple Siri smart speaker, that we'll see any other hardware, Buster? What do you think?
Maybe MacBook Pros or Macs or something. Some developer type of tool, possibly.
Oh, man, I would love a new MacBook Pro.
Because I think they've announced MacBooks at WWDC in the past, haven't they? Or they announced the new Mac Pro, I think. I can't remember.
I think they've announced MacBook Pros at WWDC in the past. I mean, they've announced all sorts of hardware at WWDC in the past, but it seems like currently, in the recent past, it's just been software focused. So I'm hoping that this new Siri speaker has some of the capabilities of the Amazon speaker that was just announced. And as long as we're already talking about this, we should just talk about this Amazon speaker now. So you guys may have heard Amazon announced a new Echo product called the Echo Show, which is a video version of their Echo smart speaker. And it's funny. Oh my gosh, my Echo's talking again. This is crazy. My Echo, I'm in my office at the back of my house. I have my door open, and my Echo is across the house, all the way at the very other end of the house. And every time I say Echo, it immediately responds.
Yeah. It's a sneaky little thing, isn't it?
Isn't that incredible?
It's really got those dog ears. Every time you like mention it, you just whisper it. Even if you're thinking, it picks it up.
I haven't tried signing it yet. I should try that and see if that works. Yeah, so if you hear another person speaking, it's my Echo just wondering what's going on. So the new Echo video is just like the Echo, but now includes video, which is just like audio, but it's for your eyes. You're really going to love the video aspect of it.
Like and, going for your eyes, right?
Amazon was saying you'll be able to watch YouTube, see music lyrics, activate and look at security cameras, look at photos, look at weather forecasts, your to-do list, your shopping list, and all this much more. So it looks like a big square unit that sits on your desk, and it has a little screen integrated into it. And one of the cool features that they were saying it was going to have is that you'll be able to make hands-free calls to other people who have either the Alexa app or an Amazon Echo, which sounds cool, but I don't know how useful this is going to be for people, because a lot of people don't have an Echo, and I feel like this is a much more natural fit within the Apple ecosystem. Don't you think, Leander, where everyone has an Apple device and you can call anyone with an Apple device opposed to just calling people with an iPad?
Right. It's like FaceTime calling. Yeah. You know, like it's useful because, you know, a lot of other people have the compatible device, and this is going to be kind of useless until, you know, that's what they're doing, a 2-for-1 deal right at the moment to save $100 if you buy two of them.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, you know, maybe I should get one for my mom or something like that, you know, so I can call her. But then I was thinking, I could just call her anyway using FaceTime.
Well, right.
It is kind of a, you know, it does limit the usefulness of it. I mean, it would be, in theory, it's a cool feature, isn't it? I mean, it's a nice idea that you could do this video calling, but you could do this with so many devices already anyway, using so many different apps at the moment. You know, it's joining a really crowded field. But I'm excited about it. I think it's really, you know, like a really interesting, really, really interesting, you know, take on this, like the home hub, you know. And really, this is what Apple should be doing, I think. you know, this is like the kind of missing, this is what the Apple TV should be something like, right? This thing that sits in the middle of the house and you can talk to it and get it to do a whole bunch of stuff. It can control HomeKit, control your home, you know, make calls, call up all kinds of information. It's funny that it's coming from Amazon. It's really an unlikely source for this kind of, you know, this kind of innovation.
It seems like a much better fit. Again, a much better fit for the Apple ecosystem because of all the devices they already have, because of FaceTime, because of iMessage,
right. Yeah.
Because all the ways you can communicate with people with Apple devices already.
Right.
And how cool would it be, this is total pipe dream here, but how cool would it be to have this thing, this Amazon Echo Show, but have it be the Apple version with a screen?
Yeah, right.
And you could say, hey, search for SD cards, and it brings up a bunch. And then you're like, hey, send that to Safari on my Mac, and then you can go to your Mac and continue shopping. That's an actual useful situation, I think, as opposed to trying to shop on your Amazon Echo Now and having to have it, you know, speak information to you about the products that you're potentially trying to buy, like I complained about last week. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So I really hope that this is the way that that Apple goes. I would love to see them integrate a screen, even though the rumors that we were talking about last week didn't say anything about a screen. It's supposed to just be a speaker. That would be really cool. So it sounds like you're not going to be buying one of these, Leander.
I put in a pre-order, to be honest.
Oh, but, you did?
I did, yeah.
even though you're like, I can't really see how useful it is.
I think, you know, from a professional, I'm just at it from a professional viewpoint, right? Because I think I've got to, you know, like take a look at it from a professional vantage point, you know, like to keep an eye on it. But, yeah, you know, the screen thing is like a little bit, you know, you look at it and you go, well, am I really going to, you know, use it to look at YouTube videos or, you know, to look at, to see
lyrics,
the weather forecast
and stuff,
lyrics of songs when they're playing. Yeah, you know, and the video calling thing, exactly, you know, like, so I don't know. But look how quickly the Echo has been adding capabilities, you know, features.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's got thousands now. You know, like, what is it? 5,000 or more things you
can
do.
But it's thousands
with it.
Of features you don't use.
Right, because I don't even know they're there. And, you know, there's no good interface, good way to remind you. Like, one of the things I like about Siri, when you use Siri on the on your iPhone, you know, it brings up a list of all these things that, you know, Siri can do that it reminds you, which I think is actually really quite a good, you know, use of the screen. It's like a cue sheet. And that, I think, would be useful on this this Echo Show, you know, like stuff like that. It's telling you what it can do, you know, reminding you. But, you know, and it's also like, it's kind of like the Star Trek computer, isn't it? You know, like, this is like, it's a computer where the main interface is voice. And I think it's a really, really interesting idea. And adding a screen to it, you know, melds it with what we, you know, it's a sort of hybrid Mac, iPhone, you know, Echo device. I can really see it sitting in the kitchen, you know, and having it help you do a whole bunch of things, you know, while you're hanging out in the house, everything from checking your calendar, running timers, doing recipes, calling up clips, you know, like, of, you know, what happened on Colbert last night, or, you know, like, show me a CNN news bulletin. I can really see that. I think you can really imagine that, you know, beyond its current capabilities, that this would be a really, it's a really cool idea for a home computer, for a computer that would sit in the kitchen and help you with a bunch of home tasks. I think it's a super, super interesting, you know, little glimpse of the future.
It has some interesting talents as well. One of the ones I thought was cool was that you could bring up your security cameras or like your baby monitors. So they have like these smart, you know, video monitoring devices now. And you could say, you know, Alexa, show me the front door, and it will show you your Ring security camera, or show me the baby's room, and your Arlo camera will activate and show you that room. And that's pretty cool. And to have that functionality right there, just sitting there waiting for you to, you know, speak it into existence, I think is pretty, pretty useful.
Yeah.
Totally. Just to bring you, you know, to surface that functionality without you having to, like, go get your phone and unlock it and all that kind of thing.
Right. Plus, yeah. You already have this stuff, right? I saw a lot of people complaining, you know, why don't you just go get a $70 Fire tablet and stick it on a stand? And you already have that kind of capability.
But that's not, it's not sitting there always listening, is it?
Well, you know, I'm not 100% sure about the Fire tablet, but you can do this, you know, with Siri, right? You know, you could have an iPhone sitting there in the dark, and you could try talking to the iPhone. You know, try and talk to Siri and get it to do things. You know, open up the your Ring app so you can see what's going on, and I presume it would work in a very similar way. So you could already do this, but it's like the idea that it's like, you know, and Phil Schiller talked about. I dug up that quote. So do you remember that when he was sort of talking about the idea of of a Siri device that sat in one spot, and he said he actually likes the idea of it being mobile. Mm-hmm. So he gave a bunch of an interview, I think it was with Backchannel, with on Medium, where he was talking about that, and he was saying that the voice interface he thinks is more useful in a mobile device, you know, one that you can take with you, and one with a screen. So you know, a lot of the things that he said then, you know, one, he mentioned the screen; two, he mentioned it's always with you; you know, three, that it's not stuck in one spot. You know, that's the one thing that they're changing here. You know, that Amazon's changing. You know, this thing sits statically in one room. But you can, but you know, the point being that you could already do this probably with a whole bunch of devices. You know, your iPad, your iPhone, with, you know, devices from Android devices and Microsoft ones with Cortana. You know, like, I think it's pretty widespread, these capabilities. But it's the form factor of the device and the sort of use case, you know, that it brings to mind. If it's sitting there in the kitchen, I think it would become habitual. Like, you develop all these habits to use it that you don't have right now with your iPhone.
I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree. And also you have the speaker, which doesn't sound like a cool feature, but to have a nice speaker sitting in that one location at all times, that you can listen to music whenever you want, that's totally pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because you'll be using the thing, won't you? You'll be listening to the radio all day, or playing music. It becomes a device that is used. It becomes integrated into your life.
I really like that point, and I think that's true. Is the fact that it's sitting there, and it helps you develop the habit of actually using it. Because when you first get it, you don't really think to ask your Echo questions. And then after a while, especially if you've been using it for music, you start to remember that it's there. And then when you have a question pop up, you are much more likely to ask it a question and have it, you know, give you a bit of information here and there.
Right, right,
I mean,
exactly.
That's what I use it for. Anyway.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, like, do you use Siri on your Mac, you know? I mean, it's sitting there, and I've never used it, not once.
I haven't either, hardly ever. I am starting to use it more on my phone, though. I don't know if the recent iterations of iOS have improved it. They must have, because I've been having a lot more success with it. And, you know, like, the Hey Siri functionality works much better than it ever has for me. So I've started to use it more and more, especially like just to ask simple questions like what the weather is, or like, you know, simple web searches, that type of thing. So, and then also part of it is, you know, the more accurate it is, the more I start to realize that it actually is going to be useful. So I start using it for more and more things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
exactly, yeah.
I'm really excited for the Apple Home Speaker. If it actually is a real thing, it actually is something that's going to get released, I'm definitely going to buy one. I'm excited to see all that it can do. And I think it's going to be a useful addition to my house, just seeing how useful the Echo speaker is. And plus, you know, with the better speakers that it's supposed to have, just having higher fidelity speakers in my house is going to be even that in and of itself would be enough for me to probably buy one.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what's going to happen to my precious Sonos, you know, like the wonderful Sonos system.
Oh, man, you can't get rid of that. That's like a part of you. It's like one of your children.
What are they doing? What are they doing? You know, they must see that this is like a huge existential threat, you know, to their business. And they've got to be, you know, like, why haven't they already come out with an Alexa-enabled speaker? I mean, there's a bunch on the market already. I think there's a good, you know, dozen or if not more. And you'd think that Sonos would be on this, you know, like super fast, because you know, this is what's going to save their business. Yeah.
So, do they not have an Alexa-enabled speaker yet?
Not yet. They've said that they were talking. The CEO was talking last year about doing it, and they just released that Playbar, which is a really beautiful speaker for your, you know, for your TV. And they said that later this year it'll be Alexa-enabled, but it's puzzling because there's no microphones built into it. So how that would happen is, you know, a bit mysterious.
It's weird that it's taking so long, too, because there's products coming out that have Alexa integration, like the new Ecobee 4 thermostat. It has Alexa built into it, so you could speak to it like it's an Alexa speaker, which is kind of a weird thing to me. I don't really feel like that would be a useful skill set for a thermostat to have. But even that thing has Alexa built into it now. So, yeah, I wonder what's taking Sonos so long. It seems like it would be like the ultimate Alexa speaker. It's like the monster of
absolutely.
Trucks, right?
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like super great music, and then also you can use it to ask questions about anything.
And it's already integrated, you know. Like, I mean, if you just had to buy one new speaker, if they came out with a new speaker that had some microphones in it, then you could integrate it into your system and you stick it in one room. So you wouldn't have to update the whole system. You know, like, one of the problems I have with Sonos is, like, over the years I've bought, you know, one speaker after another, and I've got a huge investment now in this system. you know, that I've got, so I've got speakers in like a bunch of different rooms, and you know, there's no way I want to go and give that up. They're great speakers, you know, I'd love to be able to add to it, but I don't know, you know, if Apple comes out with one, I can see the sort of beginning of the end for Sonos.
Well, can you plug your Sonos speakers into the Amazon Echo and use it that way?
Yeah, you can, but there's some headaches with it. I tried doing it, and there was a way, you know, you have to set up all this kind of IFTT kind of stuff.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, in the background. So
yeah, no way.
The last time I looked into it, there was all that, you know, jiggery pokery in the background. I was like, okay, I'm not, you know, it's
not even
that.
Trying to get into that jiggery pokery.
Yeah, right. I'm sure I'd be proven wrong. I know that listeners here will be able to, you know, come back to me on Twitter, like, you know, saying, oh, you can do this and you can do that. I tried it with what's the little puck one, the portable one, the Echo
Dot.
No, not the Dot. The one that can actually be moved. It's got a battery in it.
I can't remember the name of it. No, I almost ordered one too, but I can't recall what the name was.
Yeah, and it didn't work. The line in, I can't remember why it didn't work. There was a problem with the line in on the Sonos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know. If there's like even a remote chance that I'm going to have to integrate IFTTT or have any possibility that that's not going to work after like 25 seconds, I'm like, yeah, I'm done.
Right. Yeah.
let's at least talk a little bit about this Beddit thing that Apple recently acquired. So in the I think in the terms of service this week, people noticed that this Beddit app and sleep monitoring system changed some of the wording to say that the data that your Beddit system will be collecting will be used and disclosed in accordance to the Apple privacy policy. And people were kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And then, as it turns out, Apple bought this company, Beddit, and hopefully we'll be using this technology in a future Apple product, but the Beddit sensor and the app and stuff are still available, so who knows what they're going to do with it. So I found this to be interesting because the Beddit technology is proprietary and it does a bunch of really cool things. They have a sensor that lies flat on your bed, and it uses ballistocardiography, which is a word that I'd never heard until yesterday, to measure the mechanical activity of your heart, lungs, and other body functions. It's totally non-invasive and is similar to the light-based photoplethysmography. I'm sure I said that perfectly, that the Apple Watch uses to monitor your heart rate. And the surprising thing is I was reading like the kinds of data this thing measures, and it's amazing. It's like from one strip on your bed, they can measure all these different things. They can measure how your heart is beating due to the movements of the bed while you're laying there. And the app can turn itself on and listen to the room to see what kind of noises you're making in the middle of the night. You know, like if you really let one fly, it might call 911. And
well, snoring, right? Is that what it's trying to listen for?
Well, it must be listening for your various cacophony of sleep noises. And so anyway, it looks really cool. It looks like something that does a very good job at giving you a ton of sleep data metrics. And this is definitely something that I think Apple needs for a future version of either an Apple Watch or some way to measure your sleep activity, because the Apple Watch doesn't do it at all. And I don't know about you guys, but I actually really like the sleep measuring activity. Like, I think it was a Withings device that tracks your sleep. It's kind of cool to know, you know, like what you're doing at night. Don't you think? I mean, it's kind of useful information.
I don't know. We talked about this before, didn't we? You can get all kinds of sleep tracking apps for your watch, and some of them are supposed to be pretty sensitive too. And I kind of feel like, you know, you track your sleep, and then you go look at the app, and it says, okay, you know, you didn't sleep very well, and you yawn, and you say, well, I already knew that. You know, what can you do about it? You know, is any of this data actionable?
Well, the one part that was, I guess you could say, actionable that I thought was kind of cool was it will use the data to determine like when you're sleeping the lightest in the morning, and then it will vibrate the bed to make you wake up at that time, so that you wake up feeling refreshed and you don't wake up, you know, groggy.
I'm really skeptical of that too.
Oh, really? You don't think that's a real thing?
No, you're gonna wake up groggy anyway. Because you didn't sleep very well.
Well, if you didn't sleep very well, maybe. But haven't you had instances where you wake up in the middle of the night and you haven't been sleeping very well, but you're wide awake and you're not sleepy? It's like it's kind of like that same situation, right? Whereas opposed to if you fall back asleep and then you wake up an hour later and you feel horrible, you feel like you just spent all night drinking which in Leander's case is probably true. and so it depends on like what where you are in your sleep cycle.
Well, they say yeah. that, but I'm really skeptical.
Those freaking scientists, them. You can't trust them.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You know, especially in, like, if you're in deep REM sleep. You know, I find that, you know, like how refreshed you wake up is kind of like very much a function of not when you wake up, whether in a deep cycle or not, you know, or if you're in a light cycle. It's just, it, you know, like I tend to wake up at the same time almost to the minute every day anyway.
Wow.
Right? Because it's just, you know, weekends and whatever, you know, I wake up at the same time. I wake up naturally and I wake up almost exactly the same time every day, whether there's an alarm on or not. In fact, if the alarm does go off, I tend to sleep through it until I'm ready to wake up.
That's the worst thing about getting older, isn't it? I remember in high school, I would be upset if I knew that I couldn't sleep until 12 noon the next day. And now, once you get a little older, like, your body goes onto this clock, and even if you go to bed late, you still end up waking up at right, whatever time
exactly
you're used
the same
to waking
time,
up.
Yeah.
It's the worst part about getting older, I think, is just not being able to sleep.
I don't know. There's
well.
Lots of other things that I think are a lot worse than that.
Well, I guess you know better than us.
You got 40 minutes, I'll give you a long list of all the things that are worse.
I guess that's my only complaint. That's not
yeah,
too bad
right.
yet.
Yeah.
We should do a whole special episode of Leander complaining about the things that about sucking about getting old. Actually, you know what? I don't even want to know. I don't want you to scare me.
Yeah, all the indignities of old age.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens with the sleep tracking system. As I said, this Beddit device is still available, and if Apple is going to integrate this, I would imagine they're eventually going to stop selling it as the Beta brand and integrate it into some other product they're going to have. But we'll wait to see. Let's at least mention that this is some good news for people that own an Apple TV. It seems as though Amazon Prime Video, the app that we've all wanted on the Apple TV, may finally be coming to the Apple TV this summer. Apple and Amazon apparently are close to an agreement to bring the video app to the Apple TV, according to people familiar with the two companies. And I guess this has always been about the business terms. And I was reading some interviews that Jeff Bezos did. He's the CEO of Amazon. And he said, getting the app onto the Apple TV is not the problem. The problem is the business terms. And that seems to be what Apple and Amazon could never agree on. And apparently, according to these sources, Tim and Jeff actually were the ones that worked out the details of this agreement. Maybe Tim had him over for a nice dinner. They had some wine. Tim cooked him one of his famous turkeys. They got their gobble on and had an agreement reached. So this summer, you may finally get the app that you've been waiting for. And I'm very excited about this because you're an Amazon Prime member, right, Leander?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it just so annoying to not have this app available on the Apple TV?
It's a little annoying. It's not really incredibly annoying. It's not, you know, one of the indignities of old age. It's not one of the most annoying things.
<'Cause>, In the context of the problems you get by aging, this is definitely not high on the list.
No, but it would be cool to have. Like, I'm a big fan of Amazon Prime. It is a very good service.
Well, how are you watching Amazon Video now?
I've got an Android TV, so it comes up on the TV.
Oh, so you have it built into your TV.
Right.
Okay, so I guess this maybe isn't an issue for a lot of people because they have newer TVs. My TV is 6 years old, and it doesn't have any of that smart crap built into it. In fact, the menu system looks like it was designed in the 70s. And so there's no way for me to watch the Amazon Video app unless I plug in like my Fire Stick, and I don't have enough HDMI ports to keep it plugged in all the time. So I have no way to watch Amazon Video, and I'm paying for it.
Well, can't you AirPlay it? Doesn't it support AirPlay?
Oh man, AirPlay! I hate doing that. I think that's so annoying. It's like using what's it called? The Chromecast. It's like streaming Netflix to your Chromecast. I mean, you can do it, but there's a delay, and it's just not streamlined. I just don't like doing it that way. I'd rather just have the app available on the Apple TV itself. I was going to say one more thing that I can't remember, and I was hoping by talking slowly it would
come back to me.
Yeah, I have no idea. So I welcome. I remember what I was going to say. Did you hear that that they're pulling all of HBO's content from Amazon Video.
Yeah.
It's all going away, Leander.
Because what, you know, the terms are up?
The terms are up and HBO is focusing on their own shizzle. So why give it to Amazon, right? They can probably launch their own service and have all that stuff available. Well, they have their own service and just keep it all available on their own service. I mean, why would you give it to Amazon? So if you're a fan of the HBO content on Amazon, soak it up into those eyeballs now, because your eyeballs are going to be missing it. I think come summer is when it's over. If I remember correctly,
it's 2018 actually.
Oh, do you remember when?
I can't remember if it's the beginning or end of 2018.
Probably the beginning.
It might
be
the beginning of 2018. Yeah.
Yeah, like the end of this year seems like a natural. Right. Natural time to end an agreement.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. There's so much good TV, and it's so you know, it's so spread out, all these different services. Like, you know, do you guys subscribe to Hulu? Do you have Hulu?
Yeah, I do.
Have you been watching The Handmaid's Tale?
No, I haven't. Everybody's been talking about it, seems like, though.
Yeah. Is it new content?
Oh yeah.
Is it original content to Hulu?
Yeah.
Oh, they're getting into original content now too.
Yeah, and then you haven't heard about Handmaid's Tale? I mean, no. People have been raving about it.
No, man, there's so many new shows out there. It's impossible to keep track of all of them.
And right, and so many great new shows. But yeah.
And you see, like, Amazon win an award for some new television, and I'm like, I didn't even know that show existed.
Right. I know. There's way too much.
You have Netflix coming out with their own content.
I know, and you got to subscribe to them all. You know, so Hulu, I was really interested in doing it, and I was going to sign up for it. It's like $7.99 a month, which isn't, you know, that's the price of a sandwich, right? So it is kind of affordable. And I was about to pull the trigger, and Tracy was like, no, you know, let's sign up when they finished streaming this Handmaid's Tale, and then we can binge watch it all, you know, in a week, and then cancel if there's something else on it we want to watch.
Yeah, I thought Hulu was kind of on its way out. I'm surprised to hear that you guys are subscribing to it.
No, I think it seems to be going from strength to strength.
I was about to unsubscribe to it because I think they cut their deal with Comedy Central or something, and so the only reason I was watching it was for like Daily Show and stuff like that, but now I just use it to watch Rick and Morty reruns.
Dude, I have never seen an episode of Rick and Morty. I see it on Reddit, dude. All the time. I always hear people talking about
it's like the best cartoon ever, man. Just like so smart and hilarious. And
how long
crude.
Has it been going on?
There's only two seasons. The third season just aired on April Fool's Day, and so there haven't been any more episodes of the third season yet. So the episodes are only 20 minutes long, and there's 10 per season, so it's super easy to catch up on.
I'm expecting to be disappointed when I watch it, just because whenever I hear anyone talk about something like this and it's so hyped up, I go and watch it, and I'm like, what the hell is everyone talking about? Like, this sucks.
I don't know. I think it's pretty damn funny. It's like this evil genius, or like this brilliant mad scientist grandfather and his grandson going on interdimensional adventures throughout the galaxy and stuff. So just only like super weird and like random stuff. Like it's ridiculous.
Is it better than, did you ever see Workaholics?
Yeah, I saw Workaholics.
Did you like that show?
Yeah, I liked that show.
That was probably one of the most funny shows I had ever seen. When the first time it came on, I don't even remember how I ran into it, and I just started watching an episode, and they were doing a marathon, and I sat there for like 4 hours just watching this show, which I never do, and it got a little whack towards the end of like season three, but dude, if you're looking for a funny show and you've never seen Workaholics, check that out too. So funny. Okay, let's move into, as long as we're already talking what we're into, let's move into an all-new What We're Into, the segment where we talk about what we're into, and we're going to try and keep this non-tech, so we can talk about things that we're into that aren't gadgetry, since we talk about that kind of stuff all the time anyway. So without further ado, Buster, you said you got a weird one. Why don't you drop it on me?
Okay. Native American sweat lodges. That's what I'm into.
Good one. Okay.
Dude, that is perfect. I immediately pictured you in one of these, and it was like, this is the perfect situation for Buster to be in. It just seems like something you would totally be in.
Oh, yeah. So I got invited to one this week on Tuesday. Me and my friends, we went to Havasupai in the Grand Canyon, and like there's a little Indian town nearby, and all the Indians work and maintain Havasupai. It's like one of their big sources of revenue. And we always make friends with the Indian guys there because we smoke, you know, and, you know, invite them to join us. And we made friends with this one dude. And
you offered them the peace pipe, so to speak.
Yeah. And he was like, he invited us to come to his sweat lodge. And so wow. we all did. It was dope. Like, I mean, it was like one of the craziest experiences ever. It's like this mud hut. You walk in backwards, like only just like your shorts on. And you're basically just sitting in this pitch black hut with a big fat Indian dude singing songs and tossing water on hot rocks and just making it super steamy to where you just start, I don't know, all kinds of weird stuff starts happening.
You
in
start
your head.
Seeing visions of Jim Morrison.
Did you eat any peyote or anything?
No, I do any of that. He told me they use pine sap sometimes and we'll put that on the rocks as like a hallucinogen or a psychedelic.
Really?
Yeah. So next Who time knew? I'm going to bring him some pine sap.
Dude, I could send you a whole bag of it. Just let me know where to send it. You got pine trees everywhere up here. Yeah. I had no idea it was such a hot commodity.
Oh, I didn't either. I didn't, like I was really expecting like peyote or something like that. But
yeah, yeah. So how long were you in there for?
I did like two sessions, and like each time you do a session, it's like it depends on whoever's leading it. They do like three songs. And it usually lasts like 10 to 20 minutes or so.
Three songs.
Yeah.
Is he playing like an acoustic guitar or something? What is he playing on?
No, he's just...
oh, is it a flute?
No, most of it's just singing, like just straight up. But sometimes they'll bring... Yeah, yeah, chanting. Sometimes they'll bring in like a drum and just like bang on the drum together and stuff like that. The
drum's really weird. When I used to get, you know, years ago... me and my roommate would have drum circles, and just like that, we'd smoke a bunch of weed. We'd turn up all the lights until it was pitch black, and then just drum. And it's a really weird experience because you just start hallucinating.
Yeah. And like, I the first time I went in, it was like, and it's a tiny hut, so you're cramped in there with like four other people. And one of the guys, like, he had to bail like halfway through the second song.
Because he was tripping so bad.
Oh, he's too hot. He couldn't handle it. He's like, I'm going to pass out. So we left. And the guy told us right after, he was just like, yeah, you know, we say, like, if you can't make it through the first song, you're like a baby learning to walk. If you can't make it through the second song, you're like a kid trying to become a man and stuff. So we just gave our friend endless shit about that the entire trip.
Just tell him to keep trying to become a man. He'll get there. One of these days, he's going to get there.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, well, that's sounds definitely like, not what I was expecting you to
really,
share.
Really primal experience.
Yeah. That reminds me of the time that I had that drum circle at Macworld.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how they always used to have that drum circle at the end, and I would clown on it endlessly. I'm like, drum circle, really? They're going to have a drum circle? And it was a powerful experience. I mean, there was like 100 people in there with drums, and we were all hammering the drums together in unison, and... it was very tribal at the very end. I mean, I had to be escorted out because I had taken off all my clothes and I was seeing visions of the future.
Drawn a knife, you know, made some across your chest. Doing like blood handshakes with folks.
I was fashioning a tomahawk out of a stick and some chair that I'd found nearby. But it was weird, man. You get all those drums hitting at the same time and it like permeates your body.
Yeah, yeah, very powerful.
It makes you feel very tribal. Okay, well, Leander, I doubt you're going to top that, but what are
mine's
you
into? so lame now.
Mine's going to be pretty bad too, in light of that.
Really, really lame.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, like, challenge to come up with something that I'm into at the moment, and I really was struggling. But I've been running my bike a lot, so I've been eating these Kirkland protein bars.
Oh yeah,
from Costco. Oh, you know the Costco brand Kirkland, and they're pretty cheap, you know. They're only like $1.70 or something like that, and they're comparable to much much more expensive, you know, protein bars. And these things are fucking delicious. They're outrageously good, you know.
Well, like, you know, they probably just have some name brand manufacturer make them on their behalf,
right? And stick it in a cheap Costco wrapper. Yeah,
yeah. Their
right,
branding totally. Is so bad. It's so terrible.
Yeah.
Especially like their Kirkland jeans are like anti-fashion. It's like it's actually repels away women if you wear those.
I actually bought a pair.
Did you?
I had to take them back. Well, I couldn't
resist.
Dude,
they are the
cheap.
Ultimate dad jeans. If you have a pair of those, you need to get yourself a pair of white Kirkland socks, and then you need to wear them inside your sandals.
Right, with some sandals on. Yeah, I know. They had to go. I thought no one would notice. Like if I put your belt over the leather patch, right? No one's going to know any better. But they weren't. They were horrible. They had to go back. We just rejoined Costco after years of not being there. You know, we used to And so now we're down at Costco like every twice a week, buying up all that stuff. All that
it's
rubbish.
The best, isn't it? I love going to Costco.
I absolutely hate it, but I gotta admit those bars are really good.
Have you tried one of their big old Polish dogs?
No, I haven't. No,
you've never eaten a Costco Polish dog?
Nope.
Those are good.
God. I really can't believe that you have never even tried one.
I don't like sausages. Don't like sausage. Don't
really?
Like it. Yeah, can't
get
into it.
This isn't a sausage. It's a hot dog. It's different.
Ugh, that's even worse. No, I hate hot dogs. It's
you
like
don't like hot
food.
Dogs either.
Oh, it's foul.
Oh my gosh! Vile. We need to revoke your American citizenship. I'm gonna write a letter to your senator. This is truly unacceptable. Costco or Costco's hot dogs are the great American food.
Yeah, they're the worst American food. It's
well, they're also that
foul and horrible.
But you cover them with enough crap, and
well,
they taste delicious.
Exactly. That's the way to do it, isn't it? You stick a bunch of ketchup and mustard and relish on it, and.
But isn't that like the entire point of British food? Like you just take something that's terrible and you cover it with a whole bunch of other stuff so that it's actually
yeah,
edible.
Yeah, chutney. It's true. Exactly. I know. Yeah, exactly. But you know, I've had a lifetime of eating really bad food. Right? I don't want to come to America. And I will admit, I'll eat almost anything, any garbage.
Yeah.
But the hot dog. I just can't eat a hot dog. Can't do it.
Costco pizza though.
Also revolting.
I'm kissing my fingertips right now and sending them into the air. Oh my gosh, Costco! There's nothing like a big old slice of Costo pizza, pepperoni pizza.
Repulsive,
goodness! My mouth
mess.
Is watering right now just even thinking about that. So you've been into these protein bars because they keep you going on the road and
yeah, they're great for cycling. You know, I did 100 miles the weekend before last, and I had like three or four of these bars in my pocket, and
three or four.
Yeah. You got to keep shoveling sugar in your face. You know, like the trick about doing these long distance bike rides is to keep refueling. You know, and you're burning thousands of calories, but you're also putting thousands of calories back in again. Mm-hmm. And actually, I actually think you gain weight after these long rides instead of like losing any. But
well, I was just gonna say, if you're eating four protein bars, then yeah, it's not surprising that you're gaining weight.
Well, that's on top of all the other stuff. You know, like I'm putting a lot of these sugary drinks, the sports drinks, and then the gels and chewy tabs. There's all kinds of stuff. I got these pockets bulging. I look like Santa Claus with this sack. You know, and it's all bulging with all these sugary, high calorie, sugary stuff.
If you see a guy riding down the street in San Francisco eating Haagen-Dazs, you might have spotted Leander Caney. Or he's eating like an Otter Pop or something that's easy to eat on your bicycle. 100 miles, though, man, that's crazy. I think the most I've ever ridden was 30, and my crotch was on fire afterwards.
Yeah. Well, I did the Grizzly Peak Century, which is like a famous century here in the Bay Area. It's up and down the hills in the East Bay. In fact, it was the rains that, in California over the winter had washed out a couple of roads, so it was only 75 miles. But it's about 6,000 feet of climbing, which is, you know, kind of a bit, quite a few hills.
That's steep, yeah.
One of the hills is 20%, like, for a mile, and that's tough. That was, you know, really crawling up that one. And, you know, all the junk you got to eat to get going. And I'm still starving hungry, you know, like completely starving. But that really is a secret. You can't eat enough of this stuff. Like I think a lot of early, you know, riders who try to do these distances, that's where they crap out because they don't refuel. They bonk, you know, and they run out of energy. All the glycogen's all been burned up. Mm-hmm. The trick is to keep shoveling this crap in your
face. That's the key.
As much as possible.
They have these
what they call, you know, sag stops, support and gear, and they have a big buffet table laid out, and it's like a toddler's birthday party. It's all the worst crap you can possibly imagine: peanut butter and jelly, bagels, you know, lots of bananas, watermelon, you know, orange slices, but tons of and then cookies, loads and loads of cookies, loads and loads of like banana bread and chocolate chip bread. It's all sugary, all really super high calorie, all revolting. In fact, I almost puked because I felt sick after eating a bunch of this stuff. But you have to shove it down because you're not going to make it to the next one.
I've got to eat this cake before I go. Right, like, yeah. Shoving cake in his mouth.
Yeah.
Is it free or is it you have to pay for this stuff?
You have to pay for them. And they're usually like 60, 70 bucks.
For the event. Oh, for the event. Okay.
Yeah, because they close off roads and they have you know, it's kind of a, it's a, you know, this is 1,000 people that get involved in this. There's 1,000 riders, and you know, so it's kind of a big event. There's a lot of people on the road, and they have stops every 20 miles, and they have marshals. They have cars with all this kind of gear going up and down in case people have problems. They'll pick you up. They'll fix your bike if you need to. There's a lot of planning. You know, you can get jerseys. It's a big thing, the whole cycling culture here. You know, there's an event almost every weekend. And in fact, I was trying to find one this weekend to get into. But, you know, you can ride all through the summer, all over California in one of these big organized rides almost every weekend.
So are you training for something specific, or are you just...
I want to be able to do this. I was doing, 5 years ago, I was doing these events almost every weekend, like riding 100 miles and like not even, you know, batting an eye on it and riding my bike and really feeling great. And I haven't been on the bike. I laid off the bike for a couple of years. I've been riding it so much. And, you know, I really missed it. So I love to ride my bike. I absolutely love it. So
I do too, man. But I feel like I don't have the crotch for it. Like, I think you have to have a special bike rider's crotch in order to be able to really go far.
You
got to
get a gooch pad, man. You know, that must special be it, shorts man. With it. Yeah.
You definitely got to have the padded shorts.
Yeah, but even I would wear those. And, like, even still, like, I'd be walking like a penguin for 2 days afterwards.
You just keep at it. You know, yeah, no, it's really painful.
But you keep at it like a gooch callus?
Yeah, I got this kind of rhino horn down there now, you know. It's all toughened up. Thick pad, inch pad of, you know, thick skin.
Just thick leather, callus skin. Oh, that's so gross. Okay, well, I've been into quite a few things lately. I was trying to decide which one I should talk about here. I'm going to get some heat for this, I'm sure, but tell you, one of the things I've been into lately that I've been watching over and over and over and over again is a movie that came out in 2016 with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt. It's called Passengers. Buster, I'm assuming you saw it and you hated it.
No, I saw the previews and it looked retarded, so I didn't see it.
It's not. It's good. But you know what the funny thing is?
Everybody else said it was ridiculous too, so I didn't go see it.
This is the thing about it. Everyone that I have met that has seen this movie either really liked it or really disliked it. I have never met anyone who was lukewarm on it. And I don't know why this movie is so divisive, but I saw it, and immediately after it was over, I restarted it and watched it again. So I spent 4 hours watching this movie. Right. And you have to like sci-fi. So it's a sci-fi movie. And skip forward 30 seconds if you don't want to hear me describe the premise of this movie. The premise is Chris Pratt is on, and everyone is on this spaceship, and they're headed from Earth to this other planet, and they're going to be starting a colony there, and the trip takes like 130 years. And about 30 years into the trip, he wakes up, and everyone else is still asleep. And they tell you all this right up front at the very start of the movie, so I'm not like really spoiling anything. But so he has to figure out like what the hell is going on, how is he going to get back to sleep, and there's all these like weird like malfunctions that are happening on the ship, and he's trying to figure that whole thing out. So it's like it's kind of like a mystery, it's kind of like an adventure, but it's excellent sci-fi, I thought. And the set piece is the ship, right? And the ship is amazing. Like the vision of what the ship looks like and how these big intergalactic ships are going to work, and all the modern amenities that they're going to have available on it. And there's only three actors. Well, I take that back. There's really only three actors in the entire movie. And so there's a very limited amount of dialogue. But I just thought it was incredible. I was totally enamored.
So you liked it with the visuals and the vision?
Yes, yes, yes.
What about the whole creepy story?
I liked that too, and I thought it had a good ending. There was a lot of people that weren't happy with the ending, but yeah, I think you could say that about every movie. You know, it's funny. I saw I was going to talk about this this re-edit that I saw this guy do on YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I saw that.
Oh, you did see that. So you saw the movie too.
No, I haven't seen the movie. I just saw the re-edit.
Whoa, the re-edit was crazy because this guy... so basically the first part of Passengers is Chris Pratt's story, right? And then they start introducing other characters. And this guy on YouTube started the movie and recut it. And he started it from... after Chris Pratt introduced his story.
Right, from the middle, yeah.
And dude, so you saw it was completely creepy, wasn't it? It completely changed the entire feel of the film.
Well, right, exactly. And it sounded like that critique of it. He was saying they put it in the wrong order, because if you put it in a certain linear order, then you don't have as much sympathy for him. It's like, he said it was like two movies, wasn't it? You know, like before when Chris Pratt wakes up and when he's on his own, and then the second part of the movie is when these other characters start to interact with him. And they said if he'd started the movie at the middle, where the other characters, where he was interacting with the other characters, and then introduced, you know, what came before, it would have been a more powerful movie because you would have had more sympathy with him. right? And his situation.
Oh, totally. Totally. Like, there was that one scene where he was standing outside the bridge door and all the tools are laying there. And the other person was like, what are all these tools doing here? And he was like, and they're like, how long have you been awake?
Yeah.
And not knowing his backstory, you're like, this dude's a serial killer.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, who is this guy that I'm stuck on this spaceship
with? Yeah.
Like, it changed it from what it is into Event Horizon. Have you seen Event Horizon?
I have,
one of the most
terrifying
space movies ever made.
So do you agree with this guy's premise? Was he right? Did they screw it up?
I don't think they screwed it up. I thought his recut made it interesting, and I think it was a very interesting angle on the movie and could have made for an interesting story. But I liked the story as it was. I don't think it was screwed up at all. I don't think it needed to be creepy. I think it was creepy enough in the scenes that, you know, turned out to have some creepiness to it. But anyway, I thought it was a great movie. It's one of the better sci-fi movies that I've seen in the last several years. But I am a sucker for sci-fi. So
have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy yet?
The second one?
Yeah.
I'm seeing it this weekend.
Okay, yeah, everyone's raving about that.
Oh, really? The consensus was that I've heard it's great, but it's not as good as the first.
Yeah.
Which the first was far and above what anyone expected, I think. So this one is probably still going to be really good. It's just, you know, it's hard to capture that magic of the first movie, isn't it? Like, how many movies with sequels end up being good? Like, the sequel is almost never as good as the first one, except for Empire Strikes Back, which is arguably the best movie in the series, right?
Well, the sequels, they often try to remake the first movie, you know, but slightly different, right? So you're trying to, because, you know, they know that it's going to be, they're banking on it, you know, recreating the magic of the first one. The best sequels are when they take it in a new direction.
Yeah, totally.
And that's risky because, you know, sometimes they can either it goes down and it succeeds or it goes down in flames.
It's like in Spaceballs, one of the finest movies ever made. They were doing this bit in the movie about how they're going to be coming out with the sequel, and it was going to be called Spaceballs: The Search for More Money. It was just like them going after it again, right, to milk that teat over again and get more cash out of it. And I think that's true to a lot of sequels these days. It's like when did all of a sudden, you know, like they have like the third movie in the trilogy, right? And now, like in recent history, they split that last movie into two parts. And so you just end up with like this drawn out movie that really didn't need to be there. I think a prime example of sequels that take too long, or trilogies that didn't need to exist, I should say, are like the Hobbit movies. Like, that second movie was just way too drawn out. They could have just made that into two movies, and it probably would have been a lot better for it. But they're in the search for more money. they gotta get those ticket sales. Okay, well. Go check out Passengers movie and then let me know what you think, because I think you might really enjoy it if you like sci-fi. But let's go ahead and wrap it up. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us about our picks, we're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute op conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Buster, when am I going to see you put on the Silver Stardust green Speedo and jump off the cliffs?
Yeah, I don't do Speedos in cliffs. I go fully clothed with a wetsuit because I flap a lot, so it gives me extra padding.
You're a real flopper, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine, like, when you are in really hot weather, you kind of turn into like a damp sponge.
Oh yeah,
because all the hair
all day. Yeah, like walking around. Yeah,
but it's more comfortable than not having any hair. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever shaved your chest. I've never done this. I'm just telling you anecdotally. But you know, you like you shave your chest, and then you get sweaty, and your shirt keeps sticking to it. Mm-hmm. Leander, that's gotta be you. Do you have a single hair on your entire torso? What? You seem like you strike me as a hairless, like hairless kind of person.
Oh my God, Tracy was plucking my eyebrows this morning because there's all these long stray hairs, yeah. Like a crazy old man. So she couldn't take
like
it anymore.
Emmett Brown.
Yeah, she couldn't take it anymore, so she was plucking away, and it fucking hurts.
Do you have like a super metro look going on right now?
No, not
I bet
yet.
You look so good.
No. I look like a tramp. I look like Steve Bannon.
That's a hot look, actually.
In a
you jest, but that's a good look. It's a very commanding look. Ominous.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Especially when I'm dressed up in my tight cycling clothes. It looks really bad.
I bet you look much prettier than you give yourself credit for. Tracy's keeping you she's keeping you manicured. What a nice person she is.
Well, yeah.
She could just let it go and have you look like an evil scientist for the rest of your life.
Well, she's embarrassed by me, you know, so she's trying to do what she can. What
she's doing it for her sake.
Yeah. Not you. Just one.